Welcome back to Broker's Corner podcast. Today I am joined by one of our broker partners. He's been with Bernie Portal for 5 or 6 years. We heard from Trini last episode, and so we'll get a little perspective from a broker. So I'm super excited. So Kevin, welcome to the show.
I don't have Trini's voice or Alex's hair, but
yeah, no, that was like the first joke we made, how Trini, all Trini's commercial voices that he has, and when he used to make cold calls, people thought it was an automated voice. So that was really funny.
He's pretty good.
Yeah. So how long have you been in this broker business?
So it's been six, almost 7 years, and at least six of those years using the Brady Portal system.
You mentioned that you kind of run this business on your own and you're always looking for new resources. So tell me a little bit about that and kind of how you found your way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's, you know, the big insurance brokerages, sometimes what we call the houses, there's regional players, and then there's little guys, sometimes called one man band and things like that. So we really need to be lean and mean for how we compete in the marketplace. So you got to show up like the big boys, but you don't have a huge team to lean on. So that was what really got my attention with Bernie Portal, was to utilize the Bernie Portal team as more or less an extension of my own.
What would you say has been the biggest challenge in your career as a broker?
Biggest challenge? I think the biggest challenge for me was getting started. Some brokers either come off of a larger agency, they worked in a related field and moved that. When I started in the industry, we literally started with nothing. So building clientele started with pretty much the knock on the door and, will you work with me? So having players and people I could lean on in the industry was huge, because establishing credibility when you haven't been with an agency for 100 years, or as is often commonplace in our industry, it might be a parent business, maybe a few generations deep, passed on. So I'm coming in as the new kid on the block, but I decided to take that also as a competitive advantage, because looking from an industry, from outside that industry, you can speak to it differently, which really helps to bring some fresh air, if you will, into conversations about the deductibles, the co-pays, and things like, well, our service is better, and how does self-funding work? So you can bring a whole new perspective to things. So eventually that became more of a advantage for me. But at first I didn't know up and down.
Yeah. So I, in one of the interviews that, you know, we've done with Broker's Corner, we had Alex and Brian on, and they were talking about how, you know, they got started and they just thought it was going to be kind of smooth sailing. And they were like, you know, we very quickly found out that that's not the case. So did you have any moments of like, dang, like, you know, this is tough, or like just kind of like moments of doubt?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think when your business cycle is largely annual and pretty much piled into the fourth quarter of the year, it can feel like feast or famine. As many brokers experience, there's the high of a good conversation, and then there's the low of everything was clicking. Why didn't I get a call back? Everything lined up. They maybe didn't like their broker. We provided a good quote, all these things, but they're not making decisions. So trying to navigate those feelings and knowing that, you know, them moving forward is part of you moving forward. And depending on where you're at in your business, as it was for me early on, that's food on the table. Later in your business, that's meeting new goals, expanding your team, developing your enterprise. So, yeah, there's definitely times, highs and lows. The business can be cyclical. As we all know, and maybe we'll get into a little further in the conversation, sometimes we as brokers lose business, what I call on account of because there's a new CFO. They've got their person they work with, and they don't give you the time of day. So you've got to have tools, and you usually don't run into developing those tools until you run into those problems and you find ways to make the relationship stickier so that the likelihood of something like that happening is a little less. because it hurts when it hurts.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. And, you know, you talked about stickiness. So before you partnered with Burning Portal, what were you doing? Like, what was your process?
Sure. We were using Salesforce, so we knew we needed some sort of CRM. And for a short time, you know, we were reporting things in the Salesforce process benefits guide, is what it's called. And there's a number of these systems out there, but they're a leader. We appreciate their team, and we stuck with them, and they've been a good help to us. But we also wanted an interface that we thought worked for the DNA of our organization, which eventually led to Burning Portal fairly early on. But out the gate, you're doing a lot of paperwork, and there are still quite a few brokers out there where it's paperwork, but we quickly find that it's laborious. It leads to what I would call intimidation factor. So people, what am I doing this right? What do I need to fill out? It feels like they're doing the SATs or something like that. How many times do I have to sign my name? Did I carry the one? Am I doing the math?
Yeah.
And errors. Are we reporting the social security numbers? People aren't filling out information completely. So then you're having to follow up with them. All sorts of stuff like that. So not having a good HRIS system and team kind of leaves a lot of brokers in an archaic system. And surprisingly, many are still doing that.
Yeah. So what would you say, which, I mean, you're still, compared to a lot of brokers, you're pretty new, because, you know, a lot of brokers have been doing this for, you know, so many years. But from what you've seen, how has, you know, the role of a broker evolved?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I appreciate that. And I mean, I've come up, and sometimes clients like to throw a little bit of meat in the cage and see what the brokers do. Like, they might invite multiple consultants to the same meeting to see what's different. I think probably most people are a little more kind than that. But at the same time, if you're not willing to go up on a, you know, to a fight, maybe you need a different industry. Right? But in those occasions, I remember variations on this, but do you have 10 years of experience? 1 year of experience 10 times. I find a lot of brokers are just doing the same things they've been doing. And by me coming into this industry from nowhere, it was a crash course in what makes the most sense. How do you convey the needs and uncover the needs of a client? And a lot of it boils down to aspects of service and ease, you know, making their life easier, and having a legitimate understanding about how their benefits work and how they can impact the cost. So call it a cost and quality or service and the DNA of the benefit. And between those two items, I can build the conversation wherever it needs to go. So I found that not having a team 20 years in the industry actually has been a good thing.
Yeah, that is interesting. Like, a fresh perspective is, you know, always a good thing. And I feel like a lot of people kind of get stuck in their ways a little bit. And so kind of finding new, that's why a lot of brokers are still kind of doing like processes manually and don't realize like how big of a difference it could make if they, you know, started doing some things with the software, and that would make their clients' lives a little easier. What would you say is something that, like, you try to do that would set you apart that helps you, like, gain clients and retain your clients as well?
The thing that set us apart. Well, utilizing Burning Portal right out the gate helps us. Because what I'll look at, we work with largely employers with under 100 employees.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes in that segment, I say they're not always getting the love. So we try to bring the love. So systems that are enterprise level, like Workday and Paycom, sometimes you have to have a degree as an administrator. You've got to have an administrator to manage that and pay to use it. And there's others out there. And that can be overkill for what they need, depending on their organization. But by leveraging an HRIS system like Burning Portal, we can not only bring that to them with integrated solutions, so fewer vendors, fewer clicks, fewer places to go, they're making life easier already, that is always available to them. So usually that's part of our onboarding process, is to present this to them, whether they have an existing HRIS or nothing at all. But what we will often do, if there's not an immediate EDI or integration into a pre-existing system, we'll still use Bernie Portal to make our lives easier. So we can still provide better service by working with them in whatever their preferred way is of onboarding employees. Maybe they still like using paper apps, but on our end, we'll record them in Bernie Portal so that we have better records, communication, interface with other vendors that they might have in place. Maybe they've got outsourced HR or PR representation and they need to see what's going on with employees. So it becomes a dashboard that they can use and own themselves, or we can utilize it. So having a system in place allows me to onboard a new client and for my team to help provide them the services they need. And by, you know, being able to do that pretty seamlessly, that ends up being one of those competitive advantages. The other side of it is being pretty up on what's going on in the industry, especially around health insurance and what the best fits and available options are for employers.
Yeah, and that's that like stickiness you're talking about with, you know, kind of having that extra level that you can provide them, that you're like, oh, I already have this, here you go. So I have a little like two-parter. What is some like good feedback that you've gotten from clients that has like really stuck with you that you're like, okay, I'm going to keep doing this? And then on the flip side, what's some like bad feedback that you're like, okay, I'm making sure that I'll never do that again?
Sure. Good feedback. Thankfully, we've got good relationships with a lot of clients. So I'm fortunate that a lot of them are open to saying nice things. They appreciate that. My team and I take the time to address them like they're the only client we have at the time. We don't treat some clients as more valuable than others. They're all part of the team as far as we see it. As we often look at all the businesses we work with as an extension of ourselves, because we'll say, hey, the one client, we know another client who can help you. Kind of the mentality of small business people help small business people. What I hear back is my team and I really hold up those values. And that means a lot to me. We're trying to live the values of providing that level of service and integrity and care. And they'll often share that back because many people are looking at the insurance landscape, how to meet compliance, keep track of their team, provide benefits they can afford. And in that process, they feel really overwhelmed. So when they can call myself or someone on the team and feel like, you know, they can take a breath and we can make some sense of things. What is this email I got from the insurance company mean? What does this mean? You know, it's constantly, what does this mean? And we can help break it down and give them options and solutions. So that's what's been really good. I think one thing I learned, and I'll give you a specific example, because it wasn't quite a critique. I haven't had too many who say, I fired you because of this.
Yeah.
You know, you dropped the ball hard on that. Usually when we lost business, it's because of what I talked about earlier. Someone comes in, they've got a resource, they don't give us a chance, and you know, broke our record, nothing communicated.
Yeah.
But I had a client who was on a form of self-funding, so health is considered in their renewals, and they had a very high increase. So we had a conversation on that particular renewal, and we moved from being in a form of self-funding to being fully insured, where health was not actively considered as part of their increases. The next year, the owner was telling me, Kevin, I really need to find a way to save money. And in my head, I'm like, well, you can't go back to the health-based stuff because we just came off of it. Mm. So I was pretty much locked in my brain about saying, well, hey, what's available to you are these fully insured options, and there's only a couple carriers in our area. What ended up happening is he talked to another broker, who just did a little bit of diligence that I didn't do because it was kind of a blind spot, which is he talked to one of the insurers who said, would you give these folks a self-funded option? And they were willing to give the quote. So I didn't quite listen. He said, I need a way to save money. Mm. And I should have knocked on the doors, even if I was just there, even if I was just in the neighborhood, I should have gone back around and seen if there was an option there. I think sometimes as brokers, we conclude well-intended, what's best for our clients without going through the full process of reevaluating what might be available and saying, hey, we just came off of this platform, but I went back to the insurer and they said, you are eligible again this year. So now knowing what that means, do you want to do that again? Mm. I didn't take the time to fully think through that. And it wasn't because I was being sloppy. I wasn't following my own process really of going slow and deliberate. And I won't make that mistake again.
Yeah, I could totally see. I mean, that kind of goes into what your point earlier saying, you know, it kind of helps you that you're kind of new to the business and that new broker came in and saw a different perspective that you weren't seeing. And, you know, it taught you something. Now you're going to make sure you look from all the angles. So
I got schooled.
Yeah.
I got schooled.
Yeah. What is something that, you know, kind of with the evolution of, you know, what clients need and, you know, maybe even since COVID that has surprised you?
I think it kind of relates to the first part of my answering your other question. Clients feel like they have a place to go. Mm. It really feels like, I call it crony, since crony hit, there's been a lot of shift, you know, personally, culturally, the way the workforce acts. Some of it's really overt. Some things are a little more subtle. And then on top of all that, we have economic pressures and we have a lot of compliance that's come out, particularly in the health space. A number of states have put out programs, Colorado being one of them, where there's a requirement for a paid family medical leave. So I think employers were already feeling stretched. Now they're feeling stretched further. They don't really know where to go. Mm-hmm. So having resources ourselves to lean on to at least help them get their bearings has been huge. I would say from when we started the business before Corona to now after Corona, the sense of disorientation and I don't even know what to do type feelings from employers is huge. So when I get the call, I think call it the call. What does this mean? Whether it's something from the state or the insurance company, but I have some familiarity to say, hey, here's my opinion on that. Here's some options about how you can handle it. You can just hear or see the weight kind of come off. And I think that that's been one of the bigger challenges small businesses have. I have it myself. I experienced that myself.
If you were to give a new broker one piece of advice, what would it be?
One piece of advice. Good question. I guess I haven't really thought about that. I would probably say something like, but first things first, I think that, you know, a broker's primary focus, depending on their role in the organization, is to build business. And I think you got to have a good sense of authenticity for yourself. Know what type of leader or salesperson or consultant you want to be. Even those I just listed are different personality types. Sometimes people think they have to know everything about something in order to be effective at it. It's a people business. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't sell insurance to injury, you sell insurance to people. So everything about this is what that individual needs. So being true to your own nature is your best way of providing them service. If you're a knowledge machine, start and come with knowledge. If you are consultative in your approach, come with that ease in the conversation to bring them, you know, the different options they need. So I think that's the best thing that I can say.
Awesome. So gonna wrap it up here soon, but I can't end the interview without doing a little shameless plug for Bernie Portal. So what is your favorite thing about being one of our broker partners?
Favorite thing? I feel like it's an organization you get to know from top to bottom, in and out. I've gotten to know different personalities and people in person, opportunities like this. I feel connected to what happens at Bernie Portal and the team at Bernie Portal cares about what happens in my organization. So that's fun. You build real relationships, impacts your business, which we're all here to be in business and make money. When you can also make friends and make a difference at the same time, it's great. And I feel like that's something you can do in a partnership with Bernie Portal.
Awesome. I love to hear that. Well, thank you so much, Kevin. We appreciated having you on. And we would love to connect in the future.
No, absolutely not. No, of course. Thank you for having me.